This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is episode 94 of season number 3 of the Fly the W670 podcast. Do us a favor, leave us one of those 5-star reviews and email us, flythew670@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can watch us on the 670 The Score YouTube page. In this segment, Crawley talks to Cubs reliever Porter Hodge about being called up to the show, closing games out, and being part of the combined no-hitter over at Wrigley Field.
Joining me now on the Fly the W podcast, we are welcome to have back Cubs reliever Porter Hodge. Porter, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you know, last time we had you, I had to look it up. It was in August of 2022. You were with the South Bend Cubs.
It was that long ago?
Yeah, you were South Bend. Dang. And so hard to believe. But, you know, since then, you've had just kind of an amazing run there. You know, that was 2022. 2023, you play for the Tennessee Smokies, you know, all good. And then this year in 2024, you finally get the call to the show. So I got to ask you, Porter, did you kind of have any inkling that you were about to get called, or did you have no idea?
It was kind of like, I don't know, it was a weird situation because, like, I had a feeling because usually down in AAA, like, you pitch two innings every outing, and, like, it'd be very rare, like, you pitch one inning. So, like, I was expected to go out for another inning. But then I didn't, and then Marty Peavy. I don't know why I said Buddy.
They kind of got a little similarity. I get it.
No, yeah. Marty came up to me, and he's like, you're done. I was like, huh, all right. So then I go into the locker room getting ready, whatever, and he's like, he wants to come talk to me. And so, like, I go talk to him, and, like, I was like, is this it? Like, because, like, he doesn't really call me in, you know? And so then he calls me in his office, and he's just, like, talking to me about this at bat. I kind of, like, I threw the wrong pitch or whatever, and he's like, my wife could have hit that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right, like, am I done here? And then I went back to the hotel and, like, chilling there for, like, 30 minutes, and then he called me. I was like, all right, this is what it is.
So you get the call, and who's the first person instantaneously that you tell? Who's the first person you have to tell?
I can't remember. I think it was my mom I called, I think, and then my dad, one of the two, but obviously my parents.
So obviously they're excited. You get over to Wrigley Field. Was that the first time you'd ever been to Wrigley Field?
Yeah. I mean, I've been back in 22 when I was on the podcast. That was the year, my first time going to Chicago is that year. So other than that, I just saw the outside of it and didn't go in.
And so you get to go inside, and what were your initial impressions the first time you laid your eyes on Wrigley Field?
I mean, I laid my eyes, actually I lied. When we were at Cubs Con, we had, like, a little camp there. So, like, that was really, like, my first time feasting eyes on it, but, like, you didn't really know what Wrigley looked like because they have that winter wonderland there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I didn't really, like, see it, but, like, you know it, you know what it looks like. But it was really cool to see, like, what it looked like all green and with the ivy. So fell in love with it for sure.
Packed house, all of that. And so you get to Wrigley and the locker room. I mean, I can't even tell you what the locker room used to look like before the renovations, but the locker room is just unbelievable. So I'm just curious, how do they determine as far as where your locker is? Does the clubby kind of just say, okay, you get this locker right here?
Yeah, I mean, you just show up and then your name. Well, I didn't have a name on my plaque yet, so they just put my number up. And I was like, well, I guess this is my locker.
And so you're sitting there, you get called up. And tell us a little bit, like, as far as how that goes, like, do they start asking you about, like, okay, what song do you want to walk out to? What are some of the questions that you have to kind of go through this process as you're going into the major leagues?
Yeah, I mean, they ask you what you want. Do they want what you want, walkout want to be? And just, like, I don't know, it wasn't really a lot of questions yet because I didn't debut yet. So, like, once I debuted, that's when, like, more people started asking questions and getting into depth about things because, like, I don't know, they just didn't want to bother me, I guess, when I first got up there.
Did you know what you wanted your walkout song to be?
I chose a Wiz Khalifa song because that's kind of just what I had in Double A when I started the year this year, and then I just kept it. I was like, might as well. So
on my level, right? It was, yeah. Good luck. you can't switch it up, right?
Yeah, can't switch it up.
So you debut May 22nd. You pitch an inning. You don't give up a hit, a run, nothing like that. But when you're sitting in the bullpen, the old days, it was great because the bullpen was really – it was on the third base line. Like, you literally have the fans right next to you. It was ridiculous. Yeah. But you're kind of in that little pen. How into the game are you while you're sitting in there? What do you guys do to pass the time?
I mean, I like to move around a lot. You know, I do, like, a little breathing exercise. So it's just, like, you know when to start moving around. Like, you watch the game for the first three innings, and then you start doing your routine to get ready to obviously get your name called or not. So, like, it goes by fast, and next thing you know, you got somebody moving around or whatever. So get the adrenaline pumping for sure.
So you get called out. You're the first time they tell you, all right, get up. I'm sure you probably had butterflies. Your debut was at Wrigley Field against the Braves. What do you remember about those doors swinging open the first time and running to the mound?
It was a night game, so it's, like, definitely a cool feeling. Packed house, but, I mean, going into the game, it's just, like, definitely a cool feeling. Like, finally, like, you reach your dreams, you know, dreams come true. So it's just, like, so relieving to be a part of history. And obviously, because, like, there's very minimal people that get to do what we do, you know.
And so you're sitting there, you get on the mound, and who do you think was really, like, obviously you're a baseball, I'm sure you're a baseball fan, and maybe you play MLB The Show. Do you play MLB The Show?
I don't play any video games, sadly.
Is there anybody that you started facing those first couple times out where you almost, like, couldn't believe, like, hey, I watched that guy on TV. I struck that guy out in MLB The Show. Is there someone that really was, like, a pinch me moment that you're facing this guy?
So what I view is, like, yeah, like, you got to respect those players, but, like, I feel like if you treat it as, like, oh, dang, like, it's this so-and-so, it's just, like, it kind of, like, sets you back mentally. So it's just, like, I don't know, sets the at-bat differently, your mentality-wise. So it's just, like, I like to think as, like, it's like they're another hitter or whatever. Like, I'm just there to do my job. But it was definitely cool to, like, face some of the players I faced, like Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, and Ozzy Albies, like, just, like, watching them, like, dominate the league. So it was definitely cool.
And so you get to do all this. It's a lot of fun. And what was it like as far as comparing, say, travel? Will you try minor league travel versus major league travel? It has to be night and day.
I mean, yeah, you can't really compare it. You know, you're driving on buses compared to flights. So,
yeah. And you know, I always see when the buses leave from the stadium and you guys are going off to the road trip and stuff like that. And to me, one of the really cool things, Porter, is that, you know, just watching as you guys developed over there, watching the young talent at the minor league level, it really seemed like the season kind of, you know, the bullpen was really in flux that first, you know, April, May, kind of there, it just wasn't there. And then all of a sudden you get called up, Ben Brown gets called up, you know, a bunch of the young guys kind of come in there and solidified the rotation. How easy was it for you to kind of get along with all the other guys in the bullpen as far, you know, I'm sure you knew some of them and other guys were veteran presence. How does that kind of work as the bullpen kind of gels together and you guys start getting more successful?
I think a lot of us, I feel like a lot of the guys are pretty nice, you know, very well-rounded. A lot of us get along, but I would say,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, once a good group of us have more success, I feel like a lot of the guys can feed on that. So that once that starts going, it's just like, I feel like it becomes a well-oiled machine, you know? Because, like, I mean, you just need to pass the torch to the next guy. And, like, if he gets banged up here and there, like, so be it. Like, the next guy's got to get shut it down or whatnot, you know?
And as far as you're concerned, you know, when you're in that moment and you don't really care about the role at the time, right? Do you just say, give me the ball when they call me, when they call for me, my number, that I just go in there. I don't care if it's 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. At that point, like, you're just there to get outs, you know, get the team rolling in the right direction. Even if you're down or up, whatever, like, keep the momentum going in your direction, or like try and get the guys off the field as soon as possible.
Now, do you remember the first time you were called upon to save a game?
I didn't know it was a save situation, honestly. It was the extra innings game in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had no clue, obviously, but yeah, that was that was my first save.
When did you find out that it was your first save? Did they give you the scorecard? Did they give you a ball? What did they do, anything?
Yeah, I got the scorecard. Well, like, I can't remember who, but when I came in, they're just like, congrats on your first save. I was like, well, that was my save? Like, what? Because I just didn't know, you know?
And then you really, you know, you just got to be focused every time that you go out there. And then towards the end of the season, like, you know, Craig Counsell's new manager, obviously for you, a new manager for everyone this year. Is there a kind of a feeling that you get like, okay, I think this guy's kind of trusting me. He's giving it in more high leverage situations.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of got to read in between the lines, you know, like, you're pitching ever so, like, it's a close game. Like, you've been pitching every close game. So it's just like, you know, kind of when to get ready mentally and whatnot. Like, if you see a dude struggling, like, we're up by 4 runs and he's got bases on, like, it's a 7th-8th inning, like, you can kind of tell, you know?
Yeah. And as far as Tommy Hotovy goes, I mean, he's kind of legendary. He goes out there, he's like the pitcher whisperer. Whatever he says, it usually works. What's it like having Tommy Hotovy there to kind of help you out and talk to you through some things?
Yeah, Tommy's a real, he's a very understandable guy and it's easy to talk to him. So it's just like, that relationship definitely helps, you know, like, him coming out, if whatnot, like, being comforting, whatnot, like, telling you what to do, like, just trying to get you in the right direction is definitely, having that relationship helps. Sorry, my dogs are barking.
That's all right. And so as you're sitting there right there and, you know, you're the new guy in the bullpen and you got to carry the backpack out and all that stuff. Was there a veteran that was kind of really helpful that kind of you could talk to, bounce ideas off of, that kind of showed you the ropes a little bit?
Yeah, I'd say before Mark got traded, probably Mark Leiter or Hector Neris. Neris was a good example of, like, how to not let the game affect the way you act in the locker room. because like you wouldn't even notice, like sometimes he had a bad, obviously he had a bad outing and just like, oh, he's like happy and whatnot. So it's just like being able to flush it and move on. Like he even told me that, it's just like, so what, like you got plenty more opportunities coming up. Like don't dwell on it. Like, especially being a reliever, like you got to be ready for the next day, you know?
All right. I'm going to take you back a little bit. And this one will always haunt me because I had tickets to the game and I didn't go. September 4th, Cubs versus Pirates. Shota Imanaga is on the bump. And I don't know if you saw this with Paul Skenes the other day when they were doing the MLB All-Team, where Shota asked him how he threw his fastball, his grip, stuff like that. Do you ever do that? Do you ever ask other pitchers about their grips or how they, you know, as from other teams? I thought that was weird that Shota asked Skenes that.
I've never really asked that, no.
So they're sitting there, and Shota's in there, and then he has a no-hitter going. And from there, it goes to Nate Pearson, the first guy out of the pen, and he doesn't understand why everybody's booing him.
Yeah. So
he said he didn't know that there was a no-hitter going on. I mean, that had to have been crazy. How about you? When you got your call to close it out, did you have any idea?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had an idea for sure, because – it was like the fifth inning or whatnot, and we're in the bullpen, and like the TV pops up, and like the little like score box pops up, and like it says no hits, obviously. And so I look over to Nate, and you know the saying, like, you don't say anything about it, whatever. And I look over at him and I start smiling, and then I look over at Cassie, at the bullpen catcher, and he knows why I'm looking over. So I just start laughing, and he starts laughing. So it's just like we kind of know, you know, and then obviously Nate didn't know, but I did.
And so you sit there and you get the call and you're out there. Is there any different feeling, like knowing that the no hitter's on the line when you came out to that mound?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, probably a little more pressure, but it's just like, it kind of gave me more of an adrenaline rush. You know, it was definitely a good feeling in my opinion. I loved it.
And so you know, the first guy you got up, former Cub, Billy McKinney, right?
Yeah,
you get him out. Then Nick Gonzalez, that's at number two. And then all of a sudden, O'Neal Cruz, who as a Cub fan, I don't know, I just – every time he just always – I mean, he's just such a big dude, capable of getting big hits. I'm just like, oh, God, of all the guys to, you know, have to face last with the no-hitter, it's on the ground, and it goes to Dansby Swanson. And as a pitcher, you just got to love having Dansby behind you, right?
I think Dansby got all three outs, I'm pretty sure, also.
Yeah. And so you do that. What was it like afterwards as far as the media attention and all that?
It was super cool. Like, I've never been in that little media room before. So it's just like seeing all those experiences, like all the people coming up and like congratulating me. It was super cool.
And now it's funny because, you know, you guys are all connected for that. So everyone's trying to get the no-hitter balls, the no-hitter pictures and all that stuff. So I'm sure you got the date down and you know how to write it every time now because people are asking, right?
Yeah, especially at those signings.
Yeah, and you know, you just did a couple signings. I know you were down at our friends at Bricks and Ivy at Hoopston and stuff like that. What is it like for you to have all these people kind of coming out and asking for your autographs?
It's cool, you know, like just to see all the Cubs supporters and like all the people that, like, you wouldn't expect to have a lot of people show up or whatnot, and like all the fan base. So it's like, it's definitely cool to see.
And so now you're sitting here and it's the off season, and obviously you guys fell a little bit short of your goal. But to me, when I watched the season, the one thing I was looking at more than anything were the young guys. And I felt like, you know, whether it was you, whether it was Luke Little, whether it was Ben Brown, a lot of these guys are really kind of coming up and there's more on their way, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like they just got to trust the young talent. You know, we got a lot of prospects. And so it's just like, once we're able to get all the young guys up, I feel like we have a lot of potential coming our way.
So the season ends, they sit down and talk to you. What kind of off-season plan do they really talk about, like what they want you to do as far as to get ready for next season?
I just like keeping on my routines, you know, keeping on top of my stuff, not letting off what I have going, like my momentum going. So it's just like just being who I am. You know, I'm a worker. I like to work hard. I hate taking days off. So it's just like, it's just how I am. So just keeping on that grind.
And do you guys keep in touch with your teammates in the off season?
I mean, I'm down in Arizona and I know a few guys are there. So yeah, I see a lot of the guys on the daily.
So as you're sitting here and you're watching free agency and all this stuff going on, do you kind of, obviously the Cubs recently just got a new bullpen arm and there's just a lot of moves. Do you kind of pay attention to it, or are you not really worried about it until spring training comes around?
I mean, yeah, I see it pop up, but it's just like, I don't know if it affects me or not. You know, it is what it is if it does, so.
And then you'll obviously be at Cubs convention. You've been at Cubs convention before. What do you think of Cubs convention and the fan reaction to you guys?
There's a lot of people that pop out, that's for sure. It's a cool thing to be a part of, and it's a cool atmosphere, I would say. Just like all the ethnicities, like people from everywhere coming to Chicago to see us.
And the roar when they call your name, man. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Porter, I appreciate you jumping on with me today. We just wanted to kind of touch base. And you are the first person I ever interviewed that went from the minors that broke through the majors. So congratulations on that, man. We are all super proud of you and appreciate everything you do and wish you nothing but the best in 2025.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me again.